Now that we have discussed the biological theories trying to explain emotion, we are now going to talk about the cognitive theories. No? The Sastre's theory is something that talks about the cognitive appraisal. Okay? Appraisal is a mechanism where you meta think about the experience that you are having. So, what this theory says is that the perception of emotion basically comprises of the physiological arousal as well as leveling of that emotional arousal. So, you experience the physiological arousal, okay, which actually provides the primary strength to perceive an emotion, but then you try to label this. So, once you have the physiological arousal, you try to assign a meaning to this very emotional arousal, you try to label it. So, according to Sastre Singer, perception of emotion arousing situation takes place in the environment. You remember, this was the first thing and it has remained common right from James Lange theory to Cannon-Bard theory. Okay, everywhere you have the perception of emotional arousing situation in the environment. Then this leads to the generalized bodily arousal and its perception, okay, which is again common to the biological theories. But then the addition is that after you have the generalized bodily arousal and the perception of the bodily arousal, you try to interpret, okay, and you try to interpret this bodily arousal, okay, and try to give a reason for this generalized arousal. Okay, why is it that I experience this type of a state? Okay, and these reasons basically they determine the feeling of an emotion. Okay, so the situation is perceived, you have a bodily response, you try to understand, you try to interpret, you try to give reason to the physiological changes, the bodily arousal, and this state of arousal, the reason that you give, that reason determines what emotion will be experienced, and therefore it is called cognitive appraisal theory. For instance, an attendant comes along with a patient, okay, to a dentist's clinic. Okay. He has normal breathing and heartbeat. Now, he can intellectually realize the patient's fear, but cannot experience fear or pain. Okay. This is because of the lower degree of arousal level. Okay. Now, arousal which is devoid of emotional level, they inhibits perception of emotion. Means, if you are not able to identify the arousal that has taken place, okay, you will not be able to perceive the emotion. For instance, a player with high level of physiological arousal during the game perceives very little or no emotion. This is because arousal is primarily because of non-emotional reasons. No? So, this is in one situation. You take the example of a dentist clinic, the second situation where you take a player in the ground. Okay. And in both the situation, Sastre theory says that the physiological arousal without apparent leveling stimulates a need for cognitive leveling. Okay. And this makes the individual move towards experiencing the emotion. So, by default, once you have the physiological arousal, you will try to find the reason behind that arousal. And once you find the reason behind the arousal, okay, if you have been able to identify the reason, fine, you have performed the task of cognitively labeling the arousal and that gives the meaning. Now, compared to other theories, this theory overwhelmingly supports the significance of cognitive factors in emotional processes. And therefore, this theory basically considers different emotions as diverse cognition of the same arousal. So, there is a change in the heartbeat, there is a change in a pulse rate, there is a change in the galvanic skin response, but then although the heartbeat changes, okay, the pattern of change that has taken place according to this theory is not important. Why has the pattern changed? You yourself search a meaning for this, you yourself assign a reason for this. And once you have assigned the reason for this, this becomes the source of your emotion. Okay. So, this is in contrast to other theories, because this theory basically considers that different emotions are basically diverse cognition of the same arousal level that takes place. Other theories have considered different physiological concomitants for diverse emotion. So, this is a major point of distinction between the biological theories and this very specific theory, the Sasser-Singer theory of emotion. Now, Lazarus said that emotional responses are basically outcome of internal and situational appraisal processes. Okay. And according to Lazarus, there are three possible outcomes: the biological urge of the individual to respond, to act, the subjective affect, the emotion, and the physiological response. And therefore, emotions at the same time, okay, along with performing the task of affect, it also induces coping activities. And that's the reason why in the literature in psychology, later on, you will come across emotion focused coping and problem focused coping, the two coping strategies that was proposed by Lazarus. Now that we have talked about the biological and the cognitive theories of emotion, let us now talk about how many types of emotions are there. Okay. If I ask you how many emotions are there, I'm sure you will come across with an exhaustive list of emotions. Psychologists have tried to find out how many basic emotions are there. Basic emotion would mean that these set of emotions will have very distinct features. Their characteristics will not overlap with the other emotions. Okay. So, if the characteristics of happiness doesn't overlap with the characteristics of sadness, then happiness and sadness qualifies to be two distinct basic emotions. Okay. Before I come to how many basic emotions have been now finally agreed upon in the literature in psychology, let us first look at the proposal given by Plutchik. According to Robert Plutchik, all emotion can be classified into 8 basic emotions. Okay. But what he nicely did was that he said that all these basic emotions, you can also think of their combinations. Okay. And the best was that he talked about the relationship among these emotions.
Joy, trust, fear, surprise, sadness, disgust, anger, and anticipation. These are the 8 basic emotions that Plutchik has talked about.
Now that Plutchik proposed 8 basic emotions, he said that these emotions are basically multidimensional, okay, and primarily he said that on the basis of the intensity, similarity, and polarity. Okay. Intensity, the high, the low, the medium, similarity, how common it is with the other one, and the polarity, completely on this side or completely on that side, the positive or the negative. Okay. Plutchik said that these three dimensions are extremely important when you think in terms of combining these 8 emotions and then trying to look at what would be the overall outcome of such type of combinations. Now, Plutchik arranged the primary emotions in a circle and then derived emotion in the third dimension based on intensity. Okay. There are mixed support for this emotion solid that Plutchik had proposed, but it is important for us to understand. Okay. And we will also look at example which would substantiate what Plutchik was trying to propose.
You can see the ring of 8 basic emotions right here. We had just talked about them. According to Plutchik, the variation in intensity can give birth to another experience. For example, fear, it intensifies and then can become terror. And if it loses a bit of its intensity, it becomes apprehension. Similarly, added intensity converts surprise to amazement, whereas loss of intensity changes it to distraction. Again, if you look at the other one, conversions take place in other basic emotions also. Sadness converts to grief and disapproval, disgust to loathing and boredom, anger to rage and annoyance, anticipation to vigilance and interest, joy to serenity, and trust to admiration and acceptance. According to Plutchik, these basic emotions can combine to give another sense of feelings. These combinations are called dyads. For example, when joy combines with anticipation, optimism is born. When trust combines with fear, submission evolves, and so forth. We will come to them little later. According to Plutchik, joy and trust can combine to generate love. Trust and fear combine to generate submission. Fear and surprise combine to generate alarm. These three are primary dyads and are often felt. Now, joy can combine with fear to generate guilt. Trust can combine with surprise to generate curiosity. And fear can combine with sadness to generate despair. These are secondary dyads and are sometimes felt. Joy can also combine with surprise to generate delight. Trust with sadness to generate sentimentality, and fear with disgust to generate shame. These are tertiary dyads and are seldom experienced. One could think of opposite emotions combining together, but these would lead to conflicts. Let us now look at other primary dyads. Surprise and sadness combine to generate disappointment. Sadness and disgust combine to generate remorse. Disgust and anger combine to generate contempt. Anger and anticipation combine to generate aggression. And anticipation and joy combine to generate optimism. Let us now look at other secondary dyads. Sadness and anger combine to generate envy. Disgust and anticipation combine to generate cynicism. Anger and joy combine to generate pride, and anticipation and trust combine to generate fatalism. Let us now look at other tertiary dyads. Surprise and anger combine to generate outrage. Sadness and anticipation combine to generate pessimism. Disgust and joy combine to generate morbidness. Anger and trust combine to generate dominance, and anticipation and fear combine to generate anxiety. Another example of opposite emotions combining together is surprise and anticipation. As you know, these generates conflicts. Plutchik has beautifully explained how the whole chain of events is completed during any emotional state. We have an event that provides a stimulus. This is cognitively appraised. This leads to some subjective reaction. It is manifested in some form of behavioral reaction, and finally the function is accomplished. You can see certain stimulus on the screen and see this full chain. Now, here we are going to look at the stimulus events, the cognitive appraisal, the subjective reaction, the behavioral reaction, and the function. Now, gain of valued objects is the stimulus event. You have to possess it. This is the cognitive appraisal. You have the subjective reaction. You have the joy. You retain or repeat it. That is your behavioral reaction. And finally, you perform a function, that is, you gain the resource. Now, you are a member of one group. You consider yourself to be a friend. This is a cognitive appraisal. You have trust towards your group members. This is your subjective reaction. You groom your behavior accordingly. That is your behavioral reaction. And the function that it performs is the mutual support. You support your members, and your team members, they support you. Now, you have threat. That is the stimulus event. You cognitively appraise that you are in a situation of danger. The subjective reaction is that of fear. Escape is the behavioral reaction. And then the function that you perform is that fine, you look for safer options. You look towards safety. Now you have an unexpected event. You just think, what is it? This is the cognitive appraisal. The subjective reaction, you are surprised. The behavioral reaction, you stop. And then you gain time to orient yourself. This is the function that you perform. You have loss of a valued object. You have a sense of abandonment. This is your cognitive appraisal. You feel sad. This is your subjective reaction. You cry because of that feeling. That is the behavioral reaction. And then reattach to loss or object. This is the function that you perform. You have an unpalatable object, and then the cognitive appraisal, you think it could be poison. You are disgusted. This is the subjective reaction. You vomit. That is the behavioral reaction. And this is how the poison gets ejected. This is the function that it performs. Now you have an obstacle. Cognitively, you appraise that fine, he or she is my enemy. The subjective reaction, you feel anger. the behavioral reaction, you attack, and this is how you destroy obstacles. This is the function that it performs. So basically, when you look at these colored objects, the subjective reactions, you have joy, trust, fear, surprise, sadness, disgust, and anger. And these are considered to be the emotions. Now you have new territory, you examine them. Because you examine them, what is a part of your cognitive appraisal? You have a subjective reaction, you have a feeling of anticipation. Then finally, you go for a behavioral reaction, you map them, and then finally you know the territory. You have the knowledge of the territory. This is the function that it performs. Right now we were talking about the Plutchik's theory, where we talked about the combination of two of the basic emotions. Look at this news item.
Trying to be brave, perhaps not even completely understanding what he's saying or doing. Asking his brother's school to send him home because their father is dead, murdered. He tries to sit by his mother, inconsolable in her grief. The same Sunita Indwar who never begged nor pleaded, even though her husband was in grave danger. And even today, as she cries for a husband that no one can bring back, there is no anger, just a sense of complete loss. Her son best sums up Sunita's patriotism, courage, and strength.
What you saw actually till now is a son who is bereaving the death of his father. The father was assassinated, and see the expression on his face and the words that he speaks. Primarily, you will get what Plutchik was trying to say, that you can still have the combination of two of the primary emotions.
The second attempt to identify basic emotion was made by Isard, who said that there are 9 innate and unique emotions that produce the main human motivational system. All of them are discrete because of the facial and the physical activities.
According to Isard, interest, enjoyment, surprise, distress, disgust, anger, shame, fear, and contempt. These are the 9 basic emotions. I repeat it once again. He said that we have interest, enjoyment, surprise, distress, disgust, anger, shame, fear, and contempt. And these are the 9 basic emotions.
According to Isard, emotion is activated by 3 person-environment interaction and 5 types of intra-individual processes. Okay, so you have the person-environment interaction, and then the obtained perception, the demanded perception, and the spontaneous perception. So you can now very easily relate. Okay. What we discussed in our first module, where we were talking about the process of sensation and perception, the whole thing of assigning meaning to the stimulus that you perceive in the environment, that is presented in the environment, okay, how you go for an in-depth analysis, how that perception induces certain bodily changes within you, and how that bodily change you try to assign a meaning to it, which also in turn facilitates the person-environment interaction. Now, the 5 different intra-individual processes that Isard talk about were memory, imagination, proprioception, the activities of the endocrine and other autonomic activities, and the spontaneous activities of the neuromuscular system. So, he said that memory, which can either be obtained, it could be demanded, or it could be a spontaneous, plays an important role in our interaction. How you imagine things, the proprioception of the facial, postural, and other motor activities, how much is the functioning and activation of the endocrine and other autonomic functions, and then how spontaneously the neuromuscular system they respond. And these factors also would help you have this type of interaction, which in turn will try to produce certain type of motivational state. So, basically what Izard said was that we have innate emotional states, and the uniqueness of these emotions basically produce the motivational system also. And then he said that the physical activities and the facial activities they are discrete, but basically emotional and motivational states he was trying to propose that they overlap. The reason why we took Izard here was that Plotchik had said that there are 8 basic emotions, Izard says that there are 9 basic emotions. And then came the proposition by Paul Ekman. Ekman performed cross cultural research on the Dani and the 4 tribes of Papua New Guinea, and then he concluded that there are some basic expressions which are very, very innate, and according to Paul Ekman, we just have 6 basic emotions: happiness, sadness, anger, fear, disgust and surprise. Just 6 basic emotions, rest all are combinations of these emotions. Now, basic emotions, basically their fundamental characteristics are different. So, happiness, sadness, disgust, fear, anger, surprise, none of these emotions, their fundamental characteristics will overlap, and therefore, specific antecedent events will bring these emotions, and accordingly the bodily changes that you see in these emotions might physiologically show you certain type of a pattern, but then in terms of subjective experience they are unique.